And so I trust that what you hear this morning will be a blessing to you as it was to me. Not as developed as deeply as what I often like to, and yet developed in my own heart as the Lord prompted. One of the things that I reflected on as I was reading this week is I remember some fairly distinct times as a young man and maturing as God used the Gospel of Luke to accomplish. The condition of the soil and its circumstances. So let me get the illustration out. And let's see. That's going to be kind of hard for children to see. Any of you children that want to, you can come up here on the front bench so you can see this better. Would any of you like to come sit up here? Those of you that are up fairly close, you don't have to. But if you're further back and you want to come on up, come on. Y'all are being bashful. There we go. You're going to have to kind of crowd together. Just find a spot to sit. Okay. So, let's see. Is there room there? How much you sit? Right here. Can you make room right here? Scoop in here. There you go. All right. Okay, so now how many of you children heard that story before that we just read? You heard that? Okay, so I want to show you what Jesus was talking about. I have a number of things here. I wanted some really pretty green or bean seeds. These are treated corn seeds. That's the bugs will need. That's what I just found easy. Let's see. So we have Jesus illustrating different soils. And he's saying, when the sower goes out to sow, and the illustration would have been, back then they didn't have planters like we do, so they would have raked and plowed the soil, and then they would have gotten reach in their bag of seed, and they just scattered it out. They'd gone through the field scattering, and they come back and rake the soil over it. Well, when you scatter it like that, it's not like just planting in a row, where you know exactly where the seed's going. It falls everywhere. And that's kind of how God's word is. God's word goes everywhere. And that's what this illustration is. The seeds are like God's word. And the sower is God. He goes out and he scatters it all over the earth. And all of us people, we get to have that seed fall on our ground. In this illustration, we're like the soil. So let's see what the soils are. Okay, let's start with... All right, so what is this? What kind of dirt? Kind of hard, yeah, clay dirt. So the story says that when he scattered seed, some of it landed there. If we put a corn seed on there, will that grow? Why won't that grow? It's too hard. Yeah, and it's not covered up. And you know what happens in the story? He says that birds come along and they carry it away. And they go eat the seed. And there's no, it's laying on top. It can't go in the soil. What Jesus explains then is that's like the devil coming and taking the seed away out of our hearts. And it never takes root. Well, there's another place. Look at this. What's this? A rock. Okay. So that's really hard. Do you think a seed can grow on that?
No.
Let's try some. Let's put a seed there. What happens if we do this? Have some potting soil. This ought to be good. How about we cover it up? That work? No, why not?
Because it's rock.
It's rock. Well, let's do something else. Where's my seed? Let's put it on top of the potting soil. Now add some more. Now will it work? You sure? Anyone think we could sprout that seed there? Who thinks we can sprout that seed? All right, we got people raising their hand. You know what you could do? We could water that, and we'd probably keep it confined better than this. But you could actually grow something on top of that rock, but it wouldn't grow very long or very tall. What would happen, the roots couldn't go in the rock. And so eventually the plant would just fall over. We'd have this spindly little plant here that wouldn't do much. And so Jesus said that's how some people are. Their heart is like rock. They have a little bit of soil, and the seed takes root, and then they run into hard times, and their plant just falls over and just goes away, doesn't do anything. Okay, what's this? A detail. A what? A thorn, yep. So that's the other kind. Let's do something else. I've got this pile of, let's put a little more potting soil in here. Let's say we've got this nice dirt. Look at this. Nice dirt. If we put a seed in there, do you think that'll grow? We could get seeds grow in there. All right, so we put a seed in, we cover it up, it's going to grow. Well, what happens if we have briars start to grow? And do briars grow faster than little seeds you plant? Weeds, it could be any kind of a weed. The Bible uses the illustration thorny ground. So I'm going to call it weeds that grow really fast, and they just choke out other things. What happens to that other little plant if we don't keep the weeds pulled out? It can't grow. It can't get sunlight, and these big old things, they're taking all the nutrients out of the soil, and it just can't grow right. So what happens? We get the weeds out, and we just have a pretty patch of good ground like that. You think that would work? So we have a whole bunch that we plant, a row of seeds, and then what happens? The plants grow, and what happens after they grow? They turn into stuff. So like a bean turns into a corn? No, what does it do? It makes more beans. Yeah, so one little bean makes a whole bunch of beans. That's right. And so it produces what was planted. So if God's word gets planted in us, that reproduces in us. So that's what this story is about. And we're going to sing a couple songs about that. I want you all to help us with that. But remember this, all the rest that we're going to be talking about today, it's about what's happening right here. Oh, I've got to show you one thing. This is just for fun. How many of you know what this is? Wheat? Yeah, I think that's wheat. Close to wheat anyway. I found that growing outside. It came out of a straw bale of some sort. The reason I brought this along is because you see how many seeds are on here? You see each of those little things as a seed inside all of those pieces? A wheat head or a wheat plant is going to have numerous heads like this on it. How many seeds did it take to make all of that? One. Just one. So down here at the bottom of the plant, one could have made lots and lots more seeds. And that's what God wants to have happen in our hearts, is that we produce a lot. Now, where I grew up in Kansas, this was really a common sight. So I don't have a lot of treasures. I do have a few. When I was a little boy, I got this for a birthday. And I used to play that I'd go out and I would combine my wheat. See, that thing turns when you roll it. And it just cuts the wheat so pretty. This sits on my shelf above my desk, along with that wheat. And it's a reminder for me of what God wants to do in harvest time. He wants to produce a big harvest. The scripture tells us that some soils produce up to 100 times as much. And that is a lot of harvest. So remember the lesson from this morning. God wants us to be good soil so that when we plant seeds, when his word goes into our hearts, it bears fruit and we have a lot of harvest. Okay, I'll go back to your parents. In your song racks, you'll have these little booklets. If you would take those, there are two songs I'd like to sing this morning. We're going to sing one now and one later. Hopefully, you all have access to these little booklets. Number two, seeds that good farmers sow. Sometimes sprout, thrive, and grow. Some are trampled under feet, some are withered in the heat. But the seed that falls on soil, not on rocks or path or weeds, will find water with its roots, then grow up to make more seeds. That's the simple story. I'd like for y'all to sing that with me. Seeds that good farmers sow, sometimes sprout, thrive, and grow. Some are trampled under feet, some are withered in the heat. But the seed that falls on soil, not on rocks or path or weeds, will find water with its roots, then grow up to make more seeds. Grace is God freely sows. Sometimes sprout, thrive, and grow. Some are trampled under feet, some are withered in the heat. But when grace finds fertile soil, it will grow in faith that lives, bearing fruit that shares the taste. Words that fall where we sow, sometimes sprout, thrive, and grow. Some are trampled under feet, some are withered in the heat. But the hearts that God prepared in the simple song, but describing the story. We'll come back and sing number one then as we wrap things up this morning. That's the story. That's the illustration. The disciples asked, what does it mean? And Jesus made an interesting comment before he answered their question. If you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 8, you can find his comment there in, lay my own eyes on it.
verse 10, it's verse 9 where the disciples asked what it means. Verse 10, he says, to you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And that goes back to the Isaiah reference where it talks about some people are not able to receive the truth of God's word for various reasons, but their hearts are closed to it. The last thing Jesus said as he wrapped up this story in verse 8, he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And that was the thing that really stood out to me as I went through this parable. Jesus is focusing on how we listen to him, how we respond to the word of God. That is the entire purpose of this story, is to illustrate what happens as people do or don't listen well to God's word. And he's admonishing them, hear. You have ears to hear, hear. Then we come to verse 10, and he makes this comment. Not everybody can understand this, but to you, talking to his disciples, and I transfer that to us today as followers of Jesus, people with the Spirit of God, to us it is given to understand. So here's the first thing. We're talking about scattering the seed, sowing it. We are privileged to have that Word of God landing all around us. There has never been a time in history when Scripture is as prolific as it is. I don't even know how many copies of the Scripture I have in physical copies. If you add my digital copies, it's way, way more than that. I have incredible access to the Word of God and to what God's message is to us. Just the fact that we're here this morning is an opportunity. The seeds are falling around us this morning as we hear the word of God read. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. How do we know that? By digging into the word of God. Some people enjoy mysteries. They like figuring things out. Here's the best one. And it's not all hidden. It's hard to understand. Some of it maybe we can't understand. But God wants us to dig and to learn. Think about this difference. We're the soil in the story, and yet soil, this is inanimate. It will not go anywhere or do anything without outside input, one way or another. We are soil. But God created us as self-determinate, meaning we're creatures of choice. We make choices. The soil doesn't make a choice. It gets tilled when the farmer works it up. It gets planted when the farmer plants it. It grows seeds that fall into it or roots that come into it. The soil is just a medium. But for our hearts, we get the opportunity to prepare our hearts. We have opportunity and we must learn. So the soils of the human heart, I'd like for you all to think about what this is in the way that Jesus told it. We're going to read the explanation next. It'll be on the next screen here. Actually, the next couple screens. Let's read and hear what the scripture says is the explanation, and we'll talk about it. Altogether, verse 8. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, but in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard,
go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
Let's pause there. We'll come to the following verses in a little bit. So Jesus says, here's what it means. You've got the seed, the word of God, the soil, the human heart, and now let's think about what those hearts, heart conditions are. The wayside, the path, the road, the parking lot would not be a very good place to scatter seeds. You would probably get some growth, and annoyingly, there is some stuff that grows out there that you about can't get rid of, but it doesn't bear much fruit. It's just crabgrass. If you were trying to grow corn in the parking lot or beans, it would behave very differently. It would not bear fruit. That's the wayside, the hard soil. The seed of the Word of God can't ever penetrate. It doesn't even really, if it germinates, it's only because there was enough moisture present that it could do so, but there's no growth. That's one kind of hardness. And obviously, we don't want to be that. We want there to be something more than just that packed hard soil. What about rocks, the rocky ground? It's got some dirt in it. And while we have seen, if you go hiking, maybe you have it on your property, you'll see places where you don't understand. I don't understand how in the world is that tree hanging onto that side of that rock. It's finding ways to get roots down to good soil. And it was able to do that. But once again, in the illustration, we're talking about crops. If you were to take those seeds and plant them on a rock, or even in rocky soil where there's very little soil, it's mostly rocks, it might be smaller rocks, the roots can't penetrate, and there's just a limited amount of nutrition that can happen. The picture is of very shallow-rooted people. How do we keep from being shallow-rooted? Well, we get rid of the rocks, for one thing. What are the rocks? The rocks are succumbing to temptation. It says in a time of temptation, they don't have roots and they wither away and they die. We all are going to encounter temptation. Temptation, or the rock, was not the problem. The problem was that we succumbed to it. And that is what depletes the nutrients in our spiritual life. We have to go for the soil of God's word and keep replacing it with that. And as I said, with soils, we're self-determined. We can keep adding soil. For those of you that garden, you know you build up soil. You garden, and over at our place, the soil is much improved over what it was. After years of putting mulch and leaves and working plants back into the ground, it's actually got a darker color to it than the soil around it. If you till up what's beside it, it looks like red East Tennessee clay. But if you go where it's done nicely, now I'd say Dean's patch out here looks way, way better than anything I have, because he's been feeding it much better for many years. We can improve the soil of our hearts in a similar way. We keep doing that by immersing ourselves in the Word of God and not succumbing to temptation. Briars. The briary ground, it's someone who hears, it's someone who receives, the plants take off growing. But what happens? They've got competition. And the competition outpaces the good growth, and the crop is diminished or eliminated. It says they don't grow to maturity. What are the competitions listed? Cares, riches, and pleasures. By virtue of the fact that we live in a broken world, there will be competition. The question is, what do we do with it? We all have things competing for our time. We all have 24 hours in a day we do something with. Question is, what do we do with it? And maybe especially the question, this has been helpful to me to think of it this way. what about my discretionary time? You take some of our brothers and sisters around the globe in impoverished places. They have very, very little discretionary time. Their existence consists primarily of survival. They don't have a lot of time for other stuff. They're just trying to stay alive. I think what they do with their time and the way that we will be viewed by God in what we do in a Western affluent society, I think that God looks at those things differently. Discretionary time, what do you do with it? He's got three things listed here: cares, riches, and pleasures. Does it mean, okay, so let's back up to that. Cares, I'm going to say that's things you think about. What's on your mind? What's occupying your brain space? And that can be all sorts of stuff. Not necessarily bad, it's just that's what's there. The cares of this world. Now we're adding in temporal values. He's saying riches, okay, we need to make a living, we need to provide for our families, need to take care of those things, but is that becoming a competition? Wait, think about this. I've got me, I've got the Word of God in this soil-plant combination. Let's make that a pillar. Let's make that a plant, whatever you want in your mind. And now let's stick these cares, these riches, the things we think, the necessary activity of living and having stuff, and then the things we just enjoy, the pleasures. Put those plants beside what's happening with the Word of God in our hearts. Now, which plant's surviving? Which one's getting the most nutrients? Which one's getting the most tillage? Which one are you fertilizing? That's the picture I think Jesus wants us to see. We can't avoid. Jesus said, he was praying to his Father in John 17. He said, I don't pray that you would take them out of the world, but I pray that you would keep them from the evil one. It's not that we can be completely removed of the challenges. The question is, what do we do with them? What are we fertilizing and growing in the garden of our heart? Notice the briary patch bears no fruit. I think it's similar to what Jesus talked about in the church to Laodicea in Revelation, is it Revelation 3, I believe? He says they were lukewarm. They had a tinge of religion, of godliness, and we'll come to another phrase that highlights this later. Be careful of religion. It is not what we need. Structured religiosity has some benefit. It came up in a conversation yesterday. An atheist making the comment that what the United States needs right now to replace all the chaos is they need some kind of a religion to follow and to rally around. It was interesting. That's a purely sociological statement. Religion can have some benefits, but that is not the answer. That is not what Jesus is trying to grow in this plant. He's trying to grow the likeness of our risen Lord, transform lives. He wants it to bear fruit, and that's the last soil, the good soil. These are people who hear it, accept it, apply what they hear from Scripture. They mature, and they bear much fruit in varying degrees. God gives people different giftings, and all of it's acceptable. The question is, what kind of a plant did God put in your heart? Are you growing to the capacity for which he planted in you? Beginning here with verse 15, this fruit, bear fruit with patience. Did you ever think about the difference of plants? This is maybe kind of a duh statement. But did you ever think of it that grass grows fast and trees grow slow? Most trees grow slow. Some of the white oaks at our house are in the neighborhood of 100 feet tall. While we were building, I did have to cut down a couple of big trees that I didn't want to, but they had to go. At that point, about 20 years ago, I think the oldest one that I counted was between 80 and 90 years old. So now we're talking in that area. I think it would have been around 100 years since that area around our house would have been cleared last. And yet we have grass, we have weeds, they just shoot up and they're done for a season. What about tomatoes and apples? You plant a tomato plant, it's producing for a season. I've heard that a good tomato plant can produce about 40 pounds of apples in a season. I said that wrong. See, I'm thinking something else and talking ahead of me. 40 pounds of tomatoes. Thank you. An apple tree, this is where I was going next. How many pounds of apples does an apple tree produce in a season? Maybe 1,000. What's the difference? What would happen if you put 1,000 pounds of tomatoes on a tomato plant? It'd go flat, wouldn't it? Just kind of wouldn't work. But an apple tree, and sometimes even their branches break. Doing things God's way. You go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 illustrates this in the first few verses, comparing trees by a river and the chaff. Doing things God's way is we're rooted in the Word of God. We're growing and we're strong. Bear fruit with patience. The fruit you want to get might not happen overnight. Probably won't. Stick with it. Let's go on to the next verses. I'd like to read the verses on the next screen and come back and make just a few more notes as he continues to comment on this. No one, reading all together, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Then his mother and brothers came to him, and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Several phrases here as we wrap up. Some people think this is a separate parable. Maybe it is. Some people call this the parable of the lampstand or the light on the stand. It goes in perfect flow with what he's teaching. In the parable of the soils, he's saying fruit is going to grow and be visible. He's saying our value system is going to be visible. In these verses, no man hides it. And then he jumps into the illustration of the lamp. People don't cover a lamp. They turn the light on for the purpose of seeing. And I think it's related in this way, that when that plant that God is growing in our lives and it's producing and bearing fruit, it's just there. It's like the tomato. It's like the cucumber. It's like whatever tree, the apple tree. And no, I'll not keep trying to put apples on tomato plants. It doesn't work. But whatever the fruit is, that is what will be visible. People can see that plant growing and bearing fruit. It's not a prideful thing. It just is. And it's what the Lord expects of us. Let your light so shine before men, we're told in Matthew 5. Visible faith. Our faith will show to others, to the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is inside will come to light. fruit is visible. We must observe what is there, first of all in our own lives, primarily in our own lives. What kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit am I producing? Jesus said in verse 21 here, those who hear and do are my family. Those are my brothers and my mother. Hearing and doing. In my mind, it's an extension of the parable of the soils. That's what he said. He's, in fact, and we didn't even point this out. Where is it? Sorry, I'm missing it here. Now, the phrase I'm looking for, he says, take heed how you hear. I mentioned it earlier. How do you hear this? What verse was it?
It's
First one?
It's about 17 or 18.
Thank you. There it is, verse 18. Take heed how you hear. It's a warning. It's saying, pay attention to what you do with the soil of your heart. All of those soils, there's hearing that happens. The seed is there. You could say it falls on deaf ears or on ears that allow a little bit of fruit or a little bit of growth. Or the good soil. Take heed how you hear. How do you hear? It's not just an intellectual exercise. It's intellectual that connects to our hearts and connects our spirits to God's spirit. It's where we are self-aware and we're developing and growing spiritually. I'm going to do one more thing. I wasn't sure if I would go here. Turn to Luke 11. I want to show you just a couple of verses here, and this is going to be more food for thought than develop thought. But in verse... let's see here. Yeah, beginning in verse 37, Luke 11, 37. No, 33, I'm sorry, I'm backing up here. We have a very similar passage. You'll recognize the wording. No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now here, listen to this. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single or clear, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, and this phrasing is interesting, that the light which is in you be not darkness. What does he mean? How can light be darkness? I think what he is saying is what we take in, you call it the eye gate, it's not just what we see, but it's the things that our minds focus on, our hearts are focused on. I'm going to say that what we see, what we take in, is knowledge. It's things that we know, it's things we understand. He's saying, let your eye be clear. Let it be single. Let it be focused on the things of God. To focus on other things introduces other content. And I'm going to say starts putting rocks and briars back in the soil. Let your eye be single. Let it be clear that the light which is in you be not darkness. That knowledge, that input, that intake that we have can generate bad fruit or completely keep good fruit from happening. So coming back to verses 16 and 17. Excuse me, I apologize. No one, when he has lit the lamp, covers it. That's the basic sentence. Instead, it gets set up where it can be seen. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Our world has so many secret possibilities. The computers in our pockets, on our desks, at the other end of wherever you travel, the secret place, the places you go by yourself, whether it's in your mind or physically, there is so much possibility of us doing things that we think nobody will ever know. And yet what Jesus is saying, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Now, it might not be revealed right here and now. You might fool the people around you for a while. You might even fool them the rest of your life. I don't know. Some people are good liars. But count on this. You will never fool God. He always knows. There is no secret place hidden from God. He knows every secret place that we would have. So as we build our soils up, let's remember that. God knows everything about this. He knows everything about our hearts. Nothing is hidden. Take care what you hear. And one more phrase, I'm going to wrap up with this one. Verse 18. Even what he seems to have, what does that mean? I think it means that sometimes we think we have something we don't. I was reminded of what Jesus said in another place. He said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to say all the wonderful things that they would tell him they did. And he says, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me. How do we know it's not just seeming? I want to come back to another phrase. Verse 15 here. How does he describe the good heart? Have heard the word with a noble and a good heart. That's our soil. Feed the soil. Make it noble and good. Will we mess up? Yep. God's redeeming us, and I look forward to getting beyond this fallen place and fallen body into a new heaven and earth where there is no more failure or misery. But until then, cultivate a noble and good heart. God knows when that's our intent. Don't go with the things that will choke out your fruit and your fruit bearing. Visible faith. What's growing in your heart will be seen. You will bear fruit of some sort. This parable focuses on good fruit. Let's identify with that and choose that. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today and this story. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to consider it and the impact that we might have, or it may have on our lives. Help us to have wisdom to know how to cultivate that good and noble soil in our hearts, that we would bear much fruit, that the cares of this life, the shallowness of this world, and the failures that we have, that they would not destroy the fruit that you want to see our lives produce. So I pray that you would strengthen and give grace to each one, that wherever they are in the journey of life, that they would understand and be able to follow you and to walk with you and to find what it is that you want to produce through them. I pray that you would bless your word, that it would bear much fruit in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.